In Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, this will give you a final challenge. Okay, I can tell you for the family, there are many, many things you can talk about family. But we've talked about the framework, at least the general principles that we have. Now hopefully we'll be able to apply these things to our life. Okay, let's read in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. Okay, ready? Let's read. 1, 2, begin. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, keep going, Marites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that we can have a final challenge. We pray, Lord, that all of us over the last few days have enjoyed ourselves, the fellowship. But Father, more importantly, we want the Holy Spirit to impress precious lessons in our lives that will change the course of our family for the glory of God. And Father, even as we approach Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, in this final challenge, we ask you, Lord, to help us to perhaps be in the audience when Joshua spoke these words to the people of Israel before he leaves this world and go back to be at least with you, Lord. Father, we pray you challenge every father, every mother, every child to realize, Lord, that you have a plan. And God, we need to make a decision in our hearts. So we'll thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Joshua chapter 24, let me just go. Sorry, I need to. Joshua was old. Yeah, is everything okay? Joshua was old. He was old. He has finished God's will for his life. Okay, he has already finished God's will for his life. Children, I want you to settle down also to listen. Okay? I think some of you may be able to catch some things. Alright? Joshua was old. He has finished God's will for his life. He has reflected. If you read Joshua 24, you will find that he is reflecting on the history of Israel and how good God was to the people of Israel. He was reminding them of God's leading and goodness. And after he made this reflection in Joshua 24, verse 1, down to verse 13, he instructed the children of Israel four things. Firstly, children of Israel, you are to fear the Lord. Because the word therefore is there. Therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him. How should you serve Him? In sincerity and in truth. In other words, serving God with your heart based on the truth of God. And then, interestingly, put away the sinful habits that will pass, okay? Those in Egypt on the other side of the flood. And then in Amorites, can I have the verse, Brother Tim? Just point out the... Okay, Joshua says, if you seem evil unto you, this to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, in other words, your past life, okay? When you were in Egypt, it reflects our life before we became Christians. And then, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Right now, they're already in the promised land. It reflects our Christian life and the influences around. Joshua is saying, look, you have a choice, fathers, as we reach the promised land. We're already in the promised land. We need to make a choice whether we are going to go back to our past life as we were non-believers, or we are going to allow the influences of our culture right now to affect us. Okay? So that was a challenge that Joshua was giving to the children of Israel. He said that if you are vacillating between the two, you need to choose this day. There's a choice to be made, fathers of Israel. The families of Israel, you have a choice to make. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, with Joshua, who have just conquered the promised land, together with the nation of Israel, Would you think that the nation of Israel, who have just gotten the promised land, be very excited to follow God? I mean, they just conquered the promised land. You would think they were excited. If you look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 16, the people actually said, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Verse 17, for the Lord our God, it is He that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. We did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed. Verse 18, the people continue and say, the Lord drove up from before us all the people, even the Amorites who dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Now it seems good. It seems that these people were on fire and said, look, we're going to serve God, Joshua. What are you talking about? In verse 19, Joshua reminded the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, your God. Why did Joshua say that? Joshua posed a challenge and said, yeah, we're going to serve God. But Joshua knew the weakness of the human heart in following God. He knew that it was going to be tough at times. Because when he looked back at the history of Israel, from Moses bringing... By the way, did you realize Joshua was in Egypt? Joshua was following Moses all the way out from Egypt and all the way to the promised land. And Joshua took over from Moses, and now he's saying, you cannot serve the Lord because I know what kind of people you are. From the time you were in Egypt, you were, and as you come out, you were complaining, I have no water to drink, I have no food to eat, where is God? And you were complaining all the way. You even built a golden calf. When we crossed over into the promised land, there were people who were greedy for the things of this world. He cannot serve the Lord. Joshua was reminding them that sometime on the spur and impulse of a decision we make, we didn't consider that we actually need God in the decision. And so he says in verse 19, Joshua, you cannot serve the Lord. Why? For He is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange God, then He will turn and do you hurt, and consume you after that He has done you good. In verse 21, the people of Israel told Joshua, look, Joshua, we are going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. You know what Joshua said? All right. You're going to make a decision. Your word. You are witnesses against yourselves, that He has chosen you to serve Him. You know what Joshua is saying? Joshua is doing what the Lord Jesus Christ did whenever people wanted to follow Him. You know what Jesus always does? He will spell out the requirements of following Christ. And then He will say, are you still willing to follow? In this context, the people say, we will follow. And then Joshua turned and said, okay, your word is witness against you. You have already decided, praise God, but you have to hold on to your word. Okay? Do you realize many hundreds of years later, the same challenge was given the nation of Israel? In 1 Kings chapter 18, you don't have to turn there, when prophet Elijah faced the 850 prophets of Baal, and he posed the same question, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. But if Baal be God, serve Him. Now in Joshua 24, people say, we will serve God. But in 1 Kings 18, the Bible said the people kept silent. Perhaps they remembered that perhaps a few hundred years ago, their fathers were so eager to serve God. But now the people kept quiet. Because why? They have compromised their faith with the people of the land. It sounded good, but Joshua reminded them. You know what's the key? The key, when Joshua mentioned all these things, he was just setting the context. And he's saying, you know, the key that we want to learn today is Joshua's decision at the end. Joshua's decision. What was his decision? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We notice five truths. Okay, five truths. From Joshua's decision. Number one, it was a personal decision. It was a personal decision. He's saying this, you guys can go ahead and vacillate. You guys can go ahead and not make any decisions. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was a personal decision. To serve the Lord is to worship Him. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, remember Jesus, when confronted by Satan, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Worship, many times we think, is the singing of songs. Not so in the Bible. Worship is when we give our whole life to God in service to Him. Okay, when the Jewish people came and worshiped God, they brought sacrifices as worship items with the heart. Okay? We need to make a personal decision for our family. You know what that's? Taking Joshua's example, says for me in my house, we will. So number one, it's a personal decision. Number two, it is a collective decision. You know why I say that? Because he said, but as for me in my house, as for me in my house, he's leading his house. But I say, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Throughout the book of Joshua and the book of Moses, the five, you will never find mention the household of Joshua. Not one time. But Joshua was actively involved in the ministry of Moses all the way until God got him to take over the leadership of the children of Israel. Yet at the end of his life, there appears still to be a very strong hint that the wife and the children were 100% behind Papa's service to God. For Joshua, can I say, wives and children, the way husbands are strong in service is when they know their entire family backs them up. Husbands, would you agree with that? When you know behind you is a whole family, we'll pray for you. Do your best. And that was why perhaps Joshua was so strong. When he served God, he knew home front, everything would be taken care of because he had supportive children and wives. Because they knew that Papa was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Families, we need to back up the decision Dad makes when he wants to serve the Lord. Everyone in the house needs to be united when they serve. The house will be strong. Number one, it's a personal decision. Number two is a collective decision. Number three, it was a firm decision. As for me and my house, we will. Today, when you ask people, will you commit yourself? You say, you know why? Of what people always say, see how. See how. See how. Can you just see how? You know what that means? It's not firm. Depends on the situation. Depends. Now, I'm not saying sometimes, yes, it really does depend. Circumstances are beyond control. But can I say this? Sometimes we say, see how, it's because we are unwilling to commit to that particular thing. And the moment something else comes, sorry, I can't because something happens. But you know what? Not Joshua. He said, we will serve God. We will serve God. So it was a firm decision. It's not maybe, it's not see how, it is I will. We need to, you know, parents, we need to be resolute in our decisions in serving to God, serving the Lord, for the sake of our children and the next generation. Some of you may have watched this army film, okay? It's called Surviving D-Day. Surviving D-Day was very interesting. I especially like one part whereby at the beaches of Normandy, I think there were five objectives, right? Especially on the Omaha beach, the biggest casualty the Americans faced. They couldn't punch through. They just couldn't punch through. In the midst of all the chaos, there was this guy by the name of General Koda. He was seeing what's happening in front. Americans were getting killed on the beaches. The tide was coming in and it was only 300 feet, about 100 meters, but it took many hours. Still couldn't get across because the Germans had strong fortifications. A machine gun was the fastest in the world. Many Americans were killed. A lot of things went wrong when they fired the artillery. It did not hit the enemy. It actually hit far, far behind. When the parachute came down, the paratroopers came down, many of them got drowned because the German General Rommel, some of you may know, flooded the whole area when the parachuters went down. Many of them actually died and drowned. Okay? And as they were moving forward, there was one general who was saying, hey, something's happening. Something is not happening. We are not punching through. Hour after hour of fighting, couldn't get through. General Koda came in, and everyone was very discouraged. General Koda went in, took charge of the whole situation, said, guys, we need to get out. We need to punch through. And then he went through to one place, and he wanted to get out of the beaches because they were being killed. So he managed to go to the side, but then there were two layers of wire, cutting wire, that you cannot get through without actually cutting it through and destroying that. Okay? So some of the soldiers volunteered, cut the first one. They went through, cut the second one, but in front of the second one was a machine gun. Apparently the fastest in the world. 1,500 rounds per minute. That's 25 bullets per second aiming at you. Okay, they managed to break that up, but the first soldier that went out was shot. Everyone was stuck. Everyone was discouraged. And this soldier was screaming in front of everyone. Everyone was, oh no, what am I going to do? Apparently in the documentary, some of you may have watched it on YouTube, General Koda says, look, gentlemen, we're getting killed on the beaches. Let's go in and be killed. And as a general, he was the first one to charge up the hill. And he said, follow me. And apparently at that particular time, because of his resoluteness, he says, we have to take charge. I will take charge. I will charge first. And as a result of the bravery of this general, the Americans punched through and opened up the whole of Normandy. And within 1 week, close to 100 to 200,000 soldiers landed to free Europe from Nazi Germany because of one man's resolute. You know, sometimes parents, we may not realize how important it is for us to make a firm decision to serve God. Because of our firm decision, the next generation can actually be saved. I just want to drop that in because for Joshua, I will serve the Lord. Number four was a spiritual decision because he says he will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. We make many financial, social, and relationship decisions. You know, sometimes in the family, we seldom make spiritual decisions. Would that be true? We seldom make spiritual decisions that we're going to be faithful. For example, I know of one family who decides their yearly income, 10% goes to missions. That's a spiritual decision they make. And they support missions actively. It was a spiritual decision. We make many decisions for our children. Parents, we also need to make spiritual decisions. Implication is this. By leading our family spiritually, we are actually ensuring the salvation of our next generation. That God can actually work in the lives of these people. Okay? The implication is you are leading your family spiritually. You are ensuring the spiritual and eternal salvation of the next generation. But the implication also, because it will not be an easy road. Why? Because by making the decision to lead your family spiritually, you are incurring the wrath of Satan. And Satan goes all out to destroy anyone and everyone who wants to walk the path of God. But no, can I encourage you? God promises his abiding strength and his protection. Okay? You know, the safest place to be is in the will of God. You can be in the most chaotic situation, but if you're in the will of God, you're safe. Why? Because God surrounds you and protects you. Okay? Final point. The first point is personal, then collective. It's a firm decision. It's a spiritual decision. Last but not least, it was a consistent decision. You know why it was consistent? Remember, Joshua is finishing his job. He's at the end of his life. He was already at the end of his life. He's going to leave the sin. The decision to serve God is an important family decision. All the children and members must be one with the head of house serving God. But realize what Joshua is saying. Realize that Joshua is saying this at the end of his life. It's important how we start, but can I say it's more important how we finish? Because at the end of Joshua's life, before he leaves the scene, in the same chapter, Joshua 24, he says, as for me and my house, we will still serve the Lord. Joshua served God all the way from Exodus. Now he's in the book of Joshua, and he thinks we will still serve the Lord. Fathers, it's not important how we decide here. It's important we decide to move forward now. But it's more important at our deathbed. All our children are growing Christians who love God with the hope that we will see dad again or mom again. You know what's such a wonderful thing is that when we are actually going to breathe our last, dads and moms, and we're surrounded by children who say, "Mom and Dad, good night, we'll see you again." We'll be serving God. And we have the hope that we will see you again simply because, "Mom and Dad, you were faithful. You taught us to be faithful. And as we send you off, we'll see you again." I don't know about you. That's my only hope. My children in this life will be useful to God, family, society. That one day when I die, I will see them again in heaven. I can tell you nothing is more precious than that. I don't care all the PhDs in this world. It's not going to give me eternal salvation. It's good to have it. It may give you careers in this life. But may I say the most important thing is that the soul of your child has been saved by the grace of God. Would you agree with that? Nothing else more important. I'm not saying our children, I don't have to study already because the most important is salvation. I'm not saying that. You still have your duties in life to do your best to honor God, your parents. You know, the final challenge, it's important how we start. It's more important how we finish. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. I think this is a very important ending point. Not trying to mimic the last part of the film. But you know what God says? That's when you make a decision to follow Christ, you really need God's courage in your life. To face an unknown territory like Joshua did, to conquer the promised land, nothing short of God's presence with you, God's faith, God's promises can guarantee you success. In Joshua 1 verse 9, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." The final challenge God tells you, dads and moms, as you decide to follow God, God says, be strong. In other words, be strong in your heart. You face a future that may have trials and difficulties, but guess what? The Bible says, the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever you go. In every trial, every situation, every hindrance, every obstacle, God says, I'll be there. And if God is there, you don't have to be worried, amen? If God is with you in every trial and situation, we may have a little bit of anxiety, but you know what God says? I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a promise of God. In fact, God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. You know what's the implication? God is saying, look, fathers, look, Joshua, as you lead my people and children of Israel, the same way I was with Moses when I opened the Red Sea, when I sent the 10 plagues upon the children of Egypt, the same way I helped you overcome the Amalekites, the same way I provided food for you for the 40 years, the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. And I was the very presence of Jehovah God. Tells us, fathers, as you make a spiritual decision to follow God, you will never be alone. Spiritually. By faith, I pray that every dad and mom can see the God who is invisible. That when no one understands in your heart, you know, hey, I know God is with me because the Bible said so. And God, as I face this financial crisis, through no fault of mine, I know you'll take me through. And when a family is going through a hard time, whatever that happens to the family, you can still say, look, God's with us. Let's ask Him for His wisdom and His strength. Young people, as you grow up, realize one thing. There is nothing more important for you than for you to put your faith in God. Money, your career, the things of this life are useful things to help you have a pattern, a routine for life. But when you hit the crisis, your career is not going to help you. It's only God that can help you. Does it make sense? In this final challenge, can I ask you to take note of all the things you've learned? Because you will see how the houses will stand. We're praying that God, as we leave this camp, we will be stronger in some ways. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the challenge from the book of Joshua. Lord, his was a personal decision. His was a firm decision. It was a spiritual decision. His was a consistent decision. We see that from the time of the beginning when he served God to the time of his end of his life, he was still resolute. He was still saying, as for me and my house, we will serve God. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to empower every dad, and every mom, and every child in each family to take up the challenge of trusting you. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit. When I just give a short invitation, I pray you work in our hearts. With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. I just want to ask you this question, dads. If you make a decision in your heart to lead your family, odds will be high, but God will be there. But you know what, through the many, many things you've learned, if you made a decision, if you're saying, Pastor, pray for me, I've made a decision in my heart, I need God to help me through this. I need God to help me stick to this decision to lead my family for the glory of God. Is there a dad here who said, Pastor, pray for me that I might do what God wants me to do? Is there someone like this? Put up the right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand. Is there someone else? Amen, I see the three fathers. Amen. And then I'm just going to pray for the three fathers right now. Lord, I pray that the fathers who have raised their hands, that you give them grace, strength and wisdom in every aspect of their decision making for the family. I'm praying for you, Lord, to give them very clear direction in the life for their families. That, Lord, they can be sure of your leading as they trust you. Lord, I pray that in every decision they make, they will spend much time in your presence to pray, to read your word, to perhaps ask for counsel. That in the leading of their family, or their children and their wives will see the clear leading of Christ. I pray for the wives to support their effort. Though sometimes, Lord, anxiety may creep in. And I'm praying, Father, that you help the wives to trust you and submit to you and their husbands as they will submit to you. The Lord, in all the decisions that they've made, they will be 100% for their husbands when the husband makes spiritual decisions. And be mindful of all the things that have been taught and learned from thy word. The family will be bound together, fastened together by submission of the wife, love of the husband, and obedience of the child. I pray for every child in the families. I ask you, Father, to bind the families close together. And asking your Holy Spirit, Lord, to lead so that every family, as they tread through the wilderness of this world, the sinful influences of this world, they will remain intact and firm, and remain holy, Lord, in the sight of God. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. And I pray for even those, Lord, who are members of families who are unsaved, but they themselves are Christians. I pray you give them a resolve to still follow you so that their family members may see Christ. And I pray also, Lord, for wives who are Christian but their husbands are not. I pray, Lord, especially for Mr. T, that you bring him to a place of salvation, that he might understand, Lord, your love, leaving the past behind, moving forwards. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. I know, Father, you have a special plan. I pray that as fathers, we encourage one another to do right, and to be accountable to you, to lead our families in the will of God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.